January, a few days into January in 1936. But in 1935, amidst very, very vigorous and powerful preaching, he was traveling all over India to establish more and more the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the Gaudiya Math mission. He spent, I think, on reading around about 8 months of his last year here. And particularly he was here during the Kartik season, as I recall. And his mood became, towards the end of his his stay here in this world, became also extremely internal. And he was heard to refer to this area out here, these sand dunes, by quoting verses from Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Rupa Goswami's Govardhan Astikams, prayers to Govardhan. He would regularly recite these prayers in this area to the dust of this particular terrain. So this also was, this is called Chatak Parvat, this area. And this was also where Lord Chaitanya himself used to envision or see this area as being non-different than Govardhan. He had this yearning always to be in Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he would come here to this area and also to Tota Gopinath, where we're going to go, he would feel, oh, now I'm actually in Vrindavan. There was a big tree here. He would think, this is Vamsivat. Here the gopis are dancing with Krishna. And here the cowherd boys are here and the cows are here and this is Vrindavan. So this area was considered like Vrindavan in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri always remains Aishwarya Dham, Dwarka Dham, but this area here is very, very sweet. So this remains a place of meditation on his greatness and his preaching prowess. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was considered, he was called the Lion Guru because he was so uncompromising when it came to any, what it was known as Siddhanta Virud, any changing or altering of the Siddhanta, the Gaudiya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he would become very fierce in protection of that. And Srila Prabhupada used to say like that, that he had the same mood. He had received this mood of preaching from his Guru Maharaj, where Srila Prabhupada would regularly, in a very, very gentlemanly way, as you see, if you see him on a video, he will call everyone rascals and fools. They are rascals and fools. Everyone was rascals and fools. And he used to call even great scientists or theologians who would come to see him, he would call them rascals and fools. And then one time he said to some of his disciples, you cannot do like this. He said, I can say like this. Because I'm an old man, I can say you are a rascal and a fool, and people will take it nicely. But if you go out and call everybody rascals and fools, they'll be very angry with you, and it won't have the same effect. So we cannot imitate the intensity of their mood, but their mood comes from the exclusivity of their role and service. I remember reading one time one little incident that really struck me about sort of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was that when he wanted to inaugurate or open the Yogapit temple, he wanted it to be a big, big, big inauguration because remember there are people in Navadvipa who say that that is not the Yoga Pit. But the British government did their own research to see whether they were going to acknowledge this as the Yoga Pit because to do that they had to make the post box, Sridhar Mayapur. If they didn't accept it, then you couldn't do anything. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very forceful in getting these things established firmly for the whole future of the preaching that was to take place. And so he invited Sir Malcolm Haley, was his name I think, the governor at that time in Bengal, to come and inaugurate the opening of the Yogapit. And he made all arrangements to cook meat there. He was going to have, if it was necessary for him, he was going to bring cooks from Calcutta and everything to make this man comfortable when he would come to Mayapur. And he was so determined like this that some of his disciples felt a little bit that this was not quite appropriate. So one of his disciples questioned him on behalf of those who had some mental doubt about this. And he said, I already decided this matter hundreds of lifetimes ago, that whatever is needed for the teaching, preaching and spreading of Lord Chaitanya's mission, I am prepared to do it, no matter what it is. And he told Srila Prabhupada, he said, you go to the West, establish missions, you can have hostels, they can eat meat, they can do everything, but they should chant Hare Krishna. And of course, the power of his faith was such that this gentleman preferred not to eat meat, and he ended up being very happy to accept Vaishnava Prasad. But he had no hesitation to do anything that was required. Like we see in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was hesitating to fight. As an ordinary man, he was depicting the dilemma of an ordinary man, and one of his reasons was that sin will come from doing this. This is a sinful thing to do. But this transcendental personality, whilst on one side, was absolutely cutting when there was any hypocrisy in the name of religion, on the other side was saying, if you want to have meat, but make them chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And it wasn't because he was compromising, it was because he had so complete faith and so complete surrender to the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the chanting of the holy name. So we will be very fortunate to sit here for a couple of moments and reflect on his greatness and our good fortune to be in his lineage, because we are like grand disciples or great grand disciples. And Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that my Guru Maharaj, he was very cutting. He was so uncompromising that sometimes his disciples used to not feel comfortable to bring influential people to meet him. Because when they'd bring this influential person they were preaching to meet him, he would speak so uncompromisingly to them. He would shock them. So they used to say, Srila Prabhupada said, they used to say to me, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. That's Srila Prabhupada said, but I was never frightened of my Guru Maharaj. He was so kind and affectionate. So he assured us that also for ourselves, if we would keep an unduplicitous heart, no matter how fallen we are, if we acknowledge our fallen condition and we are not pretentious and we approach him, that he would have nothing but kindness to bestow upon us. So this is our funny position. We're so outside of proper behavior and culture and so on and so forth. But even I think it was Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he gave three things. He said, or maybe it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, if the Bengalis would preach, if the Oriyans, he gave something that they should do, and if the Westerners would be compassionate, then they would get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we have to become Srila Prabhupada in the Haridas Thakur's passing in that particular chapter. He mentions that one should not stop the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, to go and live away in a solitary place, this is actually stopping the preaching of Lord Chaitanya. So we should be mindful of this. We shouldn't have this mentality that I don't want to help anyone else. I just want to take care of myself. We should actually find that we will be so much better taken care of than we can imagine if we adopt the mood and mind that I'm very fallen, I'm very far away from the standard of a Vaishnava, but I really would like to be somehow or other instrumental in helping somebody. I can't help anyone much, but I would like to be able to participate and offer my small bit. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, they will bless us with inspiration on what we can do. And we'll be surprised, because it's not quantity all the time, sometimes it's quality. But they have plans for every one of us. And to the degree that we make ourselves amenable to those plans, is a degree that they can empower us so that we can also be helpful to spreading the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So we should not dally here long, but we can stop for a moment, and then we should regroup and take our prakram down and up to see Tota Gopinath.